guest today is Stefan Verstappen. That's V-E-R-S-T-A-P-P-E-N. And he is the author of The Art of Urban Survival and the 36 Strategies of Ancient China. And you have another book. What's the name of the other book?
It's called The Master's Guide to the Way of the Warrior.
Okay. I saw that on your website. All righty. And the websites are urbansurvivalstrategies.com and chinastrategies.com. And he is also the creator of the video documentary titled Defense Against the Psychopath. Okay. So we're talking about, you were explaining why people join the military.
Yeah.
And, I could see that. The people want to feel like they're strong and they want to protect their country, but their country doesn't need protecting. But I don't know why they don't get that part.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the programming. Because, you know, our culture has been so twisted. We don't have an outlet for masculinity and male aggression. We don't have, you know, proper channels for that. And so what we see, what happens, for example, in the black community is the only outlet for that is gangsters. You know, look at the videos and the rap music. And, you know, that's appealing to the warrior ethic. Right. That's why, you know, we have that problem in Chicago and other communities. It's not because so much because of the drugs. You know, if the government would stop selling drugs to those neighborhoods, they'd have
yes.
a problem,
yes.
you know. And if the government would stop providing them with firearms, that would help too, because where do you think they get all these guns from? My God, there's thousands and thousands of illegal guns. They're not all from, you know, gun store robberies or home break-ins, you know, and especially since we saw that Fast and Furious nonsense going on there where Obama sold military firearms to the Medellin cartel in Mexico. I mean, you know, supposedly under the pretext after they got caught of, oh we're going to try and track those guns. I mean, the whole thing was just such a blatant lie and a farce. Wow. The government's in on drug running, and they're also the major suppliers of weapons throughout the world, including our own neighborhoods. So let's get that straight. You know, let's not pretend that it's something else. It's not. It's the government. They're behind it.
Sure. Anyway,
sorry, I get off on a rant. Because these are evil bastards, you know.
And they are the ones that really, well, they're bringing the drugs into the country, and they are making certain that the people who are feeling, well, I was talking to my husband about this the other day, that people who feel like they can't do something, like they're feeling down. Drugs give them a feeling. It makes them feel good for its temporary feeling, but it makes them feel better. And they're going to do anything that they can, including robbery or whatever, in order to get money for drugs. And it's the people, the CIA, as you said, that or the government who's bringing them in.
Yeah. Yeah, so what they've done is they've so poisoned our culture and our society that men don't have an outlet to express their masculinity anymore, other than through drugs, through joining a gang where, you know, or through joining the military. Those are the outlets, and that's done on purpose. You know, in more primitive traditions, for example, what we don't have is a coming of age ceremony for men. In primitive traditions, you took 13-year-old boys and you brought them and you trained them, and then you sent them into the woods for a week to live by themselves. And, you know, this was empowering. It was sort of a ceremony that marked the beginning of manhood. And once you became a man, then you had these kind of responsibilities to your tribe and to your group and to your family. And they felt a part of something. They felt that they were doing something to, again, protect the community, protect the women, to be, you know, strong and brave in the eyes. You know, men do everything for women's attention. That's why mostly what we're doing. You know, it's just like, you know, like every other other species, you know, the men have to puff up and splay their feathers or, you know, and
right.
around and
like
do a dance.
Peacock. Yeah.
Like a peacock to attract the females. So we do all this to attract the females. Men want to, you know, appear to be strong and athletic and powerful, and all the girls will swoon. And, you know, that's what we live for until we hit about 60, and then it starts to fade. But, the hormones stop raging quite as much. But when you're young, that's all men want to do. They want to appear competent and powerful in front of the females so that the females will love them. That's what we want, you know. And we're happy to protect them and do everything for them and work hard and build a house and go and fight for the country. Anyways, look, that's how they get us, okay, because it's part of our genetics.
Right.
So they sucker us into that. So we either go into the army or we go into a gang or we take drugs to sort of try to feel something that has been denied us through every other channel. Now, what happens when they get them into the army is one thing. Because, look, I was in the States. I lived in California for 12 years. I remember the TV commercials, right? There was one I particularly remember. And it starts off with, like, a knight in shining armor, right? A medieval, you know, fantasy knight. He's got the sword and the shield and shining armor. And he's fighting a dragon or something like that. And then suddenly the image morphs into a Marine. Right, in full full blue dress, right. They got a beautiful costume. I love the Marine costumes. It's a great outfit. So there you go. That's what they're doing. See, they're appealing to the
war. Oh, sure.
Right? Yeah. You're the knight in shining armor fighting the dragon and saving the damsel. That's what men like. They like that stuff. Then,
well, you know, that starts early for some people. That starts with Boy Scouts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have to remember who created the Boy Scouts and who brought it into this country.
Lord,
and it really has Freemasonry base. But you know, you earn all these badges and you get to build fires and you get to do that. You get to wear these badges on your clothes. Same thing in the military.
Sure. But you know what? I don't have anything against the Boy Scouts. I was a Boy Scout, and I think... You see, we have that instinct anyways, so we need to do something like that. Better to channel it into getting a badge for learning how to do first aid, or getting a badge because you know how to build a shelter, or getting a badge because you've been on a 20-mile hike. I'd rather see that than going into the army or joining a street gang, you know? I know it's corny, and of course it was pre-military training, but that's, you know, this is our instinct to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This is
I can see your point.
So how do we channel that into something positive rather than something violent like the military?
Right.
And so, I know there's people that don't like the Boy Scouts, and it's already gone out of fashion. I don't even know if there are still Boy Scouts anymore, but I'm all in favor of Boy Scouts. I think if you can keep the pedophiles out, oh my God, they seem to be everywhere, these bastards. But anyways... It's again, we're trying to channel male energy into positive activities. And then, so for me, Boy Scouts, that's great. You know, you're full of testosterone and you want to go and prove what a tough guy you are. Great. Pick up the canoe, go canoe, come back in a week and tell me how it was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Either that, then, you know, they're so frustrated that they have to take drugs, or they're so frustrated that the only... you know, outlet is joining the military or a street gang. That's what they've left us, you know?
Sure. But when we had more of an agrarian society, we didn't have so much of this. We did not have, because people were out working in their fields and there were families worked together. You didn't have that people weren't on so many ego trips.
Right. But in an agrarian society, again, the male energy was channeled into being a good farmer, you know.
Right.
Now, you know, all the girls will swoon when they see some guy in a fancy car and an expensive watch, right? But in an agrarian society, the girls will swoon because Billy, increased his sheep flocks, you know. And because Bobby's pigs are the fattest pigs in the county, you know. So it was still there, but it was more benevolent. You know, it was channeled into productive, you know, he's a good farmer. Look at what is, you know, he raised so many vegetables and crops and his herds increased and he'd make a good husband for you. You know, that's, you know, sure. So we're back into impressing the girls, but in an agrarian society, you impressed them by being a good farmer, good provider, you know. So those things are denied us. And instead, we're fed a lot of crap. And the other thing is, you know, professional sports. Ugh.
Don't get me started.
So now, again, here we are. Because remember, men have this, there's nothing you can do to get rid of it unless you castrate every boy at birth. You know, men have this kind of instinct. So they don't like that because that causes trouble for the psychopaths in charge. Men start to ask questions. Maybe they resist being chained and enslaved. You know, we don't want them to resist enslavement. That's what we want. So let's redirect this male masculine energy into these useless activities. And that we can make a profit from. And they make a profit from the street gang because, hey, you know, the importers of all the drugs are making a profit on these street gangs. And the prison industrial system is making a profit on the street gangs. And, you know, the gun smugglers are making a profit on that. So that's good. And then we got the military where everybody's making a profit on that. So that's good. And, the other area is, of course, professional sports where, you know, we get all these guys to somehow project their masculinity into strangers that run around chasing a ball. I mean, like, you can't, you know.
Exactly.
Somebody coming from another planet and you would explain that to them and they would say, okay, we're leaving. It's so insane. I don't understand how men can get so excited by watching other men chase a ball. Men that they have no connection to. Look, it's different. You know, you're on a company baseball team. You get together on Sundays and you play baseball. Man, that is beautiful. I love that. That's a great activity.
Sure.
You know, the kids are playing soccer. Great. The kids are playing soccer. But to sit on your fat ass on the couch and watch a TV and, or God forbid, you pay, I don't know how much the tickets are going for these days. It's a fortune to go see a professional sports. And then you got to buy all the pop and the beer and the hot dogs at, you know, triple the cost, you know.
Right. So
to do that, that to me is insanity. You know, I can see playing sports. Okay. It's fun. You know, go and play yourself, but to watch and then somehow feel like, oh, our team, this and that. And then look at what happens in Europe with the soccer games. You know, they have riots and fighting in the benches.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. Man. You know, the other thing too is that children now from very young are so tied into their gadgets that they don't get outside. They're not playing the sports that they used to. Well, I guess some of them are. But they're not getting as much exercise, which would really, really be very helpful. But you're right, too, about the sports. And they have been so militarized. You know, you have your uniform, you have your colors, you have the national anthem. Why do they play the national anthem at the beginning of – they still do that, I assume – at the beginning of a game? What is that all about?
It's operant conditioning. You know, Pavlov came up with this a long time ago. They've known this stuff. You combine two stimulus together and they become associated with each other until one triggers the other. So what they want to do is they go, everybody's all excited about the big game. Now they paired that with the national anthem. So now everybody's excited about the big game. And when they hear the national anthem, that will invoke the same excitement that they had when they were attending the game. You pair those things together. You know, that's why the commercial for the recruitment commercial, that's why they pair a knight in shining armor to a marine in dress blues. They put those two images together so that they condition you to associate one with the other. So now you want to be a knight in shining armor? Sure, join the Marines.
Right.
So it's all just behavioral conditioning, you know. It's classic. It's really underhanded, and they're not geniuses. I could do this. You know, if I had control over the media and the power that these psychopaths have, I could reverse this in 10 years and make it so that people admired independent thinking rather than going with the crowd, or people admired honesty rather than being a devious son of a bitch, you know. People are easily programmed, but what's happened is we've let the psychopaths in charge of the machinery to program people. And when they got in charge of that, they programmed people to be the worst that they could be rather than the best they could be, you know. And that's what we have now. We have basically a very sick, narcissistic, psychopathic society, because starting in school, starting with the media, and all the way through, that's the programming has been under the control of these people, and they want it the worst for humanity, and that's what their programming is producing, the worst of humanity.
And it's been incremental. I mean, they didn't just start out that way. They started out with programs on TV and on the radio that were benign, or that promoted something really good.
Yeah.
Or a good family life. I don't know. I can't remember. You know, some of the, I don't know, Father Knows Best and that kind of thing. But then all of a sudden, and they also promoted a lot of programs that promoted hospitals and how doctors are so smart. And if you need something, you go to your doctor. So it's been incremental, but it's all programming.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and it's been successful, and it's been ongoing for a long time. So, you know, I don't blame people. You know, I don't, because they didn't have a chance. They never had a chance, right? They didn't have a chance. And nobody ever spoke truth to them. Most people that have gone, born and raised in this society for the last 60 years, probably never heard a single word of truth about the way the world really works. You know, not in the history, not under, you know, political sciences, not under economics class. Not a word of truth. Their whole lives. So how can you blame them that they can't tell the difference between lies and truth? They never heard truth. So what's their? How can they tell the difference? You know.
Sure.
So I don't blame people. I get mad, but I don't blame them.
Sure. Yes, and it is something to get mad at. But the thing too is that churches. I cannot believe that there are churches. Well, I can't believe it, that churches are promoting warfare and promoting all of the same kind of behavior. They're not coming out and doing their job and saying, wait, hold it, except for maybe the Amish, okay? I mean they're anti-war. And
the Quakers.
Right, the Quakers, well, except for, what's his name, Nixon. He was supposed to be a Quaker, and he certainly wasn't.
No, I don't mind the Amish and the Quakers. I actually admire them, because at least they stick to their principles, you know?
Exactly, yes. Yeah. But where are the rest of them?
I have a chapter in my book. I was going to do an excerpt, and I was just thinking, should I post this excerpt to my website? And I was debating between which one of these two chapters to post. But the chapter in question was called A Time to Kill. And it's a little bit controversial, but in the chapter, I make the case that this whole idea of nonviolence is another lie. You know, religion all promotes this idea that nonviolence is the highest virtue. And that's actually not true. And as a matter of fact, the religions themselves use that to exploit people. For example, you know, we're all told about about Jesus and love thy neighbor and turn the other cheek, and we have, you know, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. Okay, during peacetime, all the churches are promoting that, right? Oh, I want to rise up against the government. Oh, no, give unto Caesar, thou shalt not kill, you know, turn the other cheek, love thy neighbor, love thy enemy. Oh, okay, well, then I'll step down from rebelling against the government. Good, 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 step down. Then the government declares war. Suddenly, all these preachers and priests and rabbis, they're all out, you know, on the edge of the battlefield saying prayers, you know, may God be on our side while we go out and kill a bunch of innocent, you know, German farm boys and bakers, you know.
Sure.
Useless, pathetic war. Suddenly, all the churches are out. Wait a minute. Wait, hold on. What happened to turn your other cheek? What happened to thou shalt not kill? What happened to love thy enemy and thy neighbor? And all that suddenly goes out the window. So, you know, religions are a tool of the state. They've always been in competition with it, but usually they form a symbiotic relationship. And that's what these psychopaths do. Look, you know, you get three con artists come into a hick town in Kansas in the 1900s. Those three con artists work together to fleece everybody in that town, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not fighting each other. They know that they're the con artists, they're the psychopaths, and they work together to fleece. That's what we see today with government and religion, and that's the way it's always been. Government and religion, two con artists working together to fleece the people. You know, that's why the church will say, this king is ordained by God. You know, that king murdered his brother, his mother, his sister, his aunts and uncles, you know, fought several wars that resulted in tens of thousands of deaths, but God chose him. You know, come on.
Or we believe in supporting the government and paying our taxes and that kind of thing. I mean, you can get thrown out of some churches because you oppose taxes.
Yeah.
You can get excommunicated.
Yeah, that's an accident? No, they're both con artists. They're both in on the con. They got each other's back. They'll squabble once in a while. You know, 100 years war, 30 years war. They'll squabble a little bit. But for most of the time, they work together. And especially now, the last 100 years in the United States, they're all in it together. They know. They're the con artists. They know everybody else is an idiot. And they just got to, like, you know, don't blow the con. Don't blow the cover. Let's just keep fleecing these idiots. And that's what they're doing.
Sure. Now, you have a great admiration for the Chinese, or for their, you know, I've read Art of War, and in your book, the book that I, well, you can get it in Kindle version, your last book also, The 36 Strategies of Ancient China, and that's a book, well, you wrote it, but 1999. Wow, that's been out a while.
Yeah. It still sells.
Yeah, well,
it's gone
should.
Into a reprint. Actually, it's gone into a second reprint.
Right, in 2012. But you really, I like that book because of, well, it's a good book for one thing. but the tactics are good. The things that you, the illustrations and... And really, we're fighting a war, aren't we?
Yes. But let me clarify. I'm not a big fan of the Chinese.
Okay, but of their tactics.
Well, you've got to understand that the Chinese have pretty much the longest unbroken civilization on the planet, right? They trace their civilization back at least 3,000 years. And so they have had the most experience with government. And tyranny and empire. And so over those 3,000 years, they have evolved some of the most ruthless and cunning attitudes to how to survive under that situation. And that's why I studied them, because that's where we're heading. You know, they've always been, you know, it's always been very competitive. They've always had a huge population, you know, too many people to feed. So that creates a very ruthless kind of society. Their emperors were some of the most ruthless bastards that ever lived. Evil sons of bitches, psychopaths, just like every other emperor and king is a psychopath. I think there's maybe three in history that weren't, but most of them certainly were. So by studying that, how ruthless they can be. And again, that's why I wrote the book, because what I said earlier, you know, we trust too much and we believe things too much. We don't step back like a warrior and analyze things from a strategic and a ruthless perspective. And so the 36 strategies of ancient China are are strategies that show, when you read them, how ruthless people can be. Once you get, you know, what kind of tactics, I mean, this is standard operating procedure, you know, these types of ruthless techniques, how devious and cunning people can be to get what they want. It's good that you should know how that works so that you don't become a victim of it and that you don't believe all the bullshit that's fed to you. So
sure.
That's sort of why I wrote that.
Well, a couple of things. Okay, in your book, observe the fire on the opposite shore. And you say, delay entering the field of battle until all the other players have become exhausted fighting amongst themselves. Then go in full strength and pick up the pieces. Which is very, very interesting. And that's from Sun Tzu.
Yeah.
Or Sun Tzu.
In Mandarin, Sun Tzu.
Right.
Yeah.
And you could use that in politics, correct?
They use it all the time. We can see this is what's happening with Trump and the left.
Yes.
Libtards. This is really easy. You know, they've set that up. That's why they're doing this. And also, same thing with the race baiting. You know, they're doing a lot of race baiting. Everything is race, and misogyny. So they're pitting the men against the women using feminism, right? It's a misogynist society. It's a patriarchy. All the women are freaking out. You know, we see this million woman march or whatever nonsense went on the other day. Look,
Soros is the one that funded that. And nobody even knew about it. I didn't even hear about it. I hadn't heard anything about it until after it was over. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And it wasn't a march. It was every woman, was to be absent for the day. Well, who knew, until after it was over?
There was some big march, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was like 2 months ago or something. But anyways, you know, women are marching because Trump won or he said something about grabbing women. Meantime, at this very moment, how many women are being sold into sex slavery? How many children, young females, their clitoris is cut out with a piece of broken glass, and not a word from the feminists. You know, we know that all over the world, female sex slavery is the largest form of slavery, and it exists everywhere. And not a peep from the feminists who care about women so much. And even, in India or Saudi Arabia, where they're beheading women because they let their veil drop. No, not a word from feminists. No. Yeah. Trump says, talks about a dirty joke and they're all, in the streets protesting and dressing up with pussy hats and madness. So, but why? Why? Because they care about women? No, they don't care about women. It's got nothing to do with women. What it's about is dividing women and men. Then we've got the black and the white and the racial, antipathy. You know, they're with this Black Lives Matter, another George Soros, front or supported group. And they're on the streets literally calling for the genocide of white people. I mean, that would be classified as hate speech if this,
Oh, my goodness. If the whites were saying something like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Can you imagine, 5,000 white people running down the street saying, kill the blacks, genocide the blacks? Oh, my God. But the blacks can do it. Why? Because it's part of this thing to turn people against each other. Now, the white people are sitting there going, geez, they're pretty upset about us. They want to kill us.
Right. Wow. Okay, we're going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get 2. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from takefromcaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit takefromcaesar.us for more information.
End time is not what you thought. In their new book, 122436, authors Mike and Cheryl Gilmore bring forth a startling new idea on the beginning of humankind, how life begins on Earth, and when our Creator concludes this age. In the book, 122436, three small groups of individuals, separated by thousands of miles, discover together the answers to the beginning of our universe and all the life it contains. Mike Gilmore is the author of 5 Levels of Power novels and the Sled Investigation series. Cheryl Gilmore is current state director in South Carolina for MUFON and brings a lifetime of experience with UFOs and related fields. As a team, their new book about life in the near future on Earth sets aside most people's religious and scientific beliefs. Available exclusively on Amazon in softback for $8.99 or the ebook price for only $2.99. Remember, Amazon softback $8.99, ebook only $2.99. 122436. Get your copy today.
Our guest is Stefan Verstappen. His websites are urbansurvivalstrategies.com and chinastrategies.com. And in your book, you have a chapter. It's called Hide Your Dagger Behind a Smile. And you state, charm and ingratiate yourself to your enemy. When you have gained his trust, you move against him in secret.
Yeah. Let me just quickly recap what the first.
Yes, go ahead.
Observe the fire on the opposite shore. Basically, that's divide and conquer. And this strategy is simple. It's causing people to fight amongst each other. Okay, so that's why, you know, we've got the racism, we've got the left and right, that's why we've got the feminism, and now they're throwing in Muslims and Christians. So, you know, everybody is fighting against everybody, and then they'll get exhausted and frustrated, and there'll be casualties.
Oh.
And once society has, because come on, what's going to happen? We can't live like that with everybody at each other's throats, you know, we can't. you know, what's going to happen to the country? The civilization, the society is breaking down. Women against men, Muslims against Christians, immigrants against whites against blacks, blacks against lefts against rights, and communists against fascists and Nazis. Oh, my God. You know, give it a rest, folks. Just drop all this shit. We're all in the same slave pen, right?
I mean, indeed.
So, you know, we have all of us a common enemy, and it's not each other. Oh, my God. So, that's the tactic they're using. Now, the tactic for that is so you exhaust the enemies, your enemies, by having them fight amongst each other, and you sow discord. That's another one of the strategies. And that's what this George Soros, Dr. Evil character is doing. I mean, he's funding all this stuff. It's classic. These strategies go back 3,000 years. It's nothing new. These people aren't geniuses. They're just evil. And they got the money to do what they want to do. And this is what they're doing to us. We are being played with all the strife, with the, you know, with the riots and the protests and all that. You're being played, folks. Stay home. Okay, if you can't do anything decent, then at least stay home, because this is falling into their hands. Now, once, and what I believe they're trying to do is completely collapse society so that they can bring in the National Guard. And then guess what? Well, we're going to save you, like the government is always there to save us. We're going to save you from each other. And what we need is a camera in every room in your house. And what we need is a tracking bracelet and a computer chip implant. And that way we can make things safe and make America great again. That's where they're going with this. So let's, you know, forget about all this. It's theater, all right? It's street theater. And none of it is real. But the reality will be tyranny. That will be a reality. All this stuff is just a big show, a big performance. But after the curtains drop on this phony play, the reality is we're all in the same slave pen, and that's where we're going. So that's the tactic. Observe the
fire. Well, as far as being chipped, we're already chipped because all of the credit cards, and everybody's got a credit card.
Oh, yeah.
They're all chipped. All they have to do is just say, oh, this person can't buy anything anymore. So you go to the grocery store, you have your groceries on the counter. Too bad. I'm sorry. The government says we can't sell to you anymore. So, and as far as the camera and the, you know, who knows, but what they're doing that through our TV sets, that they are
doing that,
surveilling us through the TV.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, they are. And then with the smartphones, I don't have a smartphone. I refuse to get one.
I don't have, well, I have a cell phone, but I don't use it. It's, you know, it's in a drawer.
Yeah.
I don't use it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Now, the last strategy, the one you just mentioned, hide your dagger behind the smile. Again, this is, this is the tactic that politicians use, right? You're everybody's friend. You say, you know, it's so simple for these people. You got to understand, or the average person should understand, that politicians are consummate actors and actresses. That's what they do. So they're just playing a role, and they play it very convincingly. And that role is hide your dagger behind a smile. I mean, you know, behind all the platitudes that they come out with, and kissing babies and shaking hands, and we're going to get jobs, jobs, jobs. I've heard that now for 40 years. Every politician wants to get jobs. So far, it hasn't worked. But all of this is just a facade. It's a fake mask. And behind it are some really nasty characters. And the other thing that people need to understand is that psychopaths are so much different from us, and what turns them on is something you can't conceive of, and that is they derive pleasure from seeing people suffer. So, you know, when recently we have all this pedogate and the pedophilia, which we've known about for years, ever since the Franklin scandal, and even before that with all the Catholic priest scandals. This has been going back at least to the 1930s, and probably since the inception of the church to begin with. Because that's what, you know, who's attracted, who wants to become a priest, for Christ's sakes, you know? Not healthy people, okay? Not, you know, real men don't want to become a priest, all right? That's not what happens. So it's been going on for a long time. But why? What is it? Are they sexually attracted to children? No. Because it's evil. They just like to do evil. It's so bizarre. And you can't believe it when you first see it, you know, when you read about it and you study these people and you go, what? You mean, so they just like to do evil for evil's sake? Yes, that's what they like to do. Because they're insane. They're morally insane. That was one of the earliest ways of describing a psychopath, was moral insanity. And that's actually still a good way to describe them, because they are insane in terms of morality in a way that it's really difficult for us to understand. But and you got to understand it. And when you do understand it, then all this makes sense.
Wow.
I get a little bit heated on that subject too.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Well, no,
it's crazy, you know.
But there are other groups who hide, who conceal child abuse. They have, I mean, I know of one group of people who, well, I won't go into it. But they, you will never hear about it in the media. There are people. There are groups of people who get away with this. This evil, evil behavior, you will never hear about it in the media, but the minute, and I'm not Catholic, but the minute a Catholic priest or a gym teacher or somebody like that, then you are going to hear about it. It'll be on the front page. But this other group that I know of, they have an 800 number. If anybody gets in trouble, you just call the 800 number. The lawyers are there to buy you off, or your local authority is going to say, oh, we'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. So, you know, it depends on who you are. So you can get away with stuff depending on, well, how many evil circumstances you set up to conceal your evilness.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of those groups, and yeah, they have their own built-in protection system, you know.
Sure.
And in their own writings, they promote pedophilia. So, I don't know why it should be such a big secret, because their holy books describe all kinds of activity, you know. So, like, you know, but you can't say anything, because then you're a bad person for pointing out that these people have...
that it's okay. The Talmud said it's okay.
Yeah, in their own religious documents, it's okay to abuse children, but you're not allowed to point that out. I mean, yeah, okay, you know, it's. But again, all of that. Yeah, you know, I have a real problem with what I call the Abrahamic religions, the three
sure,
of them.
Sure.
You know, anyone who knows anything about psychopaths, if you read the Bible, the character known as Jehovah or Yahweh or whatever is the biggest classic psycho, sadomasochistic psychopath in history. You could, you know, you could use that if you were to use the diagnostic tools, you know, the Robert Hare's diagnostic tool to diagnose whether or not people, you know, on the checklist of psychopathy. Yeah, Yahweh and Allah and Yahweh and Jehovah, these guys are top psychopaths. The whole religion is a psychopathic religion. All three of them, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, are three psychopathic religions. They're just it's horrible stuff. It's just it's psychotic.
But there are good people. I mean, I know some
people. Sure, yeah, you know, because they don't know better. You know, they don't know what they're. Look, you see,
it's a hierarchy that is evil, and yeah, and the regular people are just following along because they think that they're doing something good. It's a hierarchy that we must be concerned about.
Always, but I think that this is pretty much genetics again. Some people are born good. I really believe that. And if they're born in China and they're a Buddhist, then everybody say, well, he's a good Buddhist, you know. And sure. If they're born Jewish, and everybody say, well, he's a good Jew. And if they're born Christian, everybody will say, because it's intrinsic to their genetic nature. They are either and most people, you know, I really believe this, you know, because I know you're either born good with a deep intrinsic moral standard that you follow. And now if you have this moral standard that is part of your genetics and you're a Christian, then of course you're going to go through the Bible and find those verses that promote.
That apply, yes.
That apply to your moral, you know, the same thing with sure. The Buddhists and the Muslims, you know, Islam is a religion of peace. Well, if you're a peaceful person and you filter through all the crap, the rest of the crap, and find, you know, the two or three sentences that promote peace, then you're a good, peaceful Muslim, you know.
I think too, though, that we have... We need to realize who radicalized the Muslims to begin with, because prior to a certain time and point, everybody was getting along pretty well in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Yusuf come in with all of their textbooks that were written here in this country. Then they got all radicalized. Sure. A lot of them did. But getting back to your book.
Yeah,
and we've already covered it, but you say, or Sun Tzu said, when a country is beset by internal conflicts, when disease and famine ravage the population, when corruption and crime are rampant, then it will be unable to deal with an outside threat. This is the time to attack.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, it's a strategy that countries use against each other, and we've seen that exact strategy outlined very clearly in the communist. Who was that communist defector that talked about the indoctrination, the subtle kind of war that communism wages against other countries?
So let's see. Let's see.
So he's an ex-KGB, defected to the U.S. He was interviewed back in the 70s. Communism.
You're not talking about Solzhenitsyn, are you?
No, not Solzhenitsyn.
Ostrovsky? Was later.
Ostrovsky. He's Israeli.
That's right. Let's see. He's ex-KGB.
Every spy a prince. That's Ostrovsky. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, the point is, this was part of the communist strategy as well. You know, how to...
Could you be talking about Putin? He's ex-KGB.
No, this is a...
I'm teasing.
But anyways... I forget his name. I can Google it in a minute. Hold on. But this is part of their plan. And this is, again, this is from the book, The 36 Strategies. And it's an ancient Chinese strategy. And that is that you infiltrate a country and you destroy it from within. Right. So you right. promote corruption. You know, the stories are that the king will say to his spies, here's a whole bunch of money, you know, usually silver caddies, a whole bunch of money, go into the country and start bribing their generals and their ministers and their officials, get them all corrupt. And then, like the Japanese did in China just before the Second World War, is go in there and set up all these whorehouses and opium dens, right? Get them all. And then, of course, the British East India Company, they did the same thing to China.
Well, they did it first. I mean, actually.
They did it first, yeah. The Japanese were Johnny come lately. The British were already
in there. If we're to believe that.
Yeah. No, that was the Black Dragon Society. They would have done that. I would have done it. If I was in charge of, you know, defending my country, you use strategies like that to undermine another country. But look at what's happened to us. Our society, somebody is doing this to us. This sure. is a clear strategy. It, again, these people aren't geniuses. This stuff has been around for thousands of years. You know, when you travel in those circles of ruthless people out for power, they all know these techniques, you know.
Sure. So, were you, somebody in the chat room suggested that it was probably Yuri Bezmenov?
Yes, Yuri.
See, we have such great listeners and we have such great chatters in the chat room. It's a really very educational place to go to.
Yeah, that's you got to watch that video if you haven't heard of it. Maybe put it in the chat room again. I can't pronounce his name. Yuri something, not on drop off. But anyway,
Bezmenov. Bezmenov.
Yeah. Watch that video because it's very enlightening, you know, because he says that it takes them 20 years to completely indoctrinate a generation so that they're completely useless. And he said this 40 years ago. So,
wow.
Yeah. And he said the most interesting thing he said too, he says, and once they're indoctrinated, they reach the fourth stage of indoctrination, which is, I forget now what it was, what he called it, something like defeat or whatever, that at that stage, they can never be deprogrammed. He says, even if we were to take them to Russia.
Wow.
Show them.
All right. We're going to a 3-minute break. And remember, we will be taking calls in the next hour. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promote stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit MyDryHome.com. That's MyDryHome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
All righty, we are back. This is Dee guest today is Stefan Verstappen, and his websites are urbansurvivalstrategies.com and chinastrategies.com. Now, what is your professional background?
I'm all over the place. Most recently, I worked as a publicist. I was in Silicon Valley. I was working in Beijing and Shenzhen. And before that, I was a martial arts instructor I still teach, but I was full time for about 8 years. I worked for an Israeli commando.
What? What? Yes.
Yeah. My background is so diverse. You know, I'm like the worst candidate for a job, but I'm also the best candidate to speak on things because I have been everywhere, done almost everything. So, but what that's done is given me a perspective. I mean, I've worked in factories, I've worked in sawmills, I've worked on a farm. I've also worked in business and finance and the entertainment. I used to be a sound engineer for a recording studio, a very big recording studio here in Toronto. Okay. I've played in bands, I've traveled the world, I've mountain climbed, hang glide, you know, I've done all that kind of stuff. I taught first aid and emergency rescue, wilderness survival. I was, an out tripper for the Toronto Boys Home. I was a detached street worker for like the worst neighborhood in Toronto. And
yeah, I was interested in that too.
Yeah.
How you were able to help in that kind of a situation. Yeah, that seemed interesting.
It was a very interesting experience because what happened was there was this lady, Lenore Suttis, and she was huge. She was like 360 pounds. Wonderful woman, big heart. She got a grant from the government. At that time, it was called a START grant or something like that, to run a community program to provide services to a very high density, high crime rate community in Toronto, the first big ghetto in Toronto, right? And and she met me and my buddy, and she said, "You two boys, I want to hire you." We had no previous experience or anything like that. She says, "I got a good feeling about you two guys." And she hired us, and she trained us, and we took classes at university, and then we went out on the streets, and we created a bunch of wonderful programs, like after-school programs, drop-in centers, drug counseling centers. We even ran like a coffee house, live music for local bands and musicians to play, and giving people something to do. We were so successful that the Prime Minister of Canada, Pierre Trudeau, I got a phone call one night from Robert Kaplan, the local MP, which is equal to like state senator, congressman.
Sure.
He said, "We've heard about your program, what you've done on so little money. I mean, you know, we ran all this on what the average government agency spends on coffee in a year, you know. And we had, and a daycare center. We ran that all with volunteers and donated spaces and things.
Okay, we're at the top of the hour. We'll be right back and we'll take your phone calls. Be right back.
If your home has hard water, then it's likely that limescale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate limescale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to bestwater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.